Hi everyone. This is your host of the Building According to Pattern podcast series, Georgia Bryce. So great that you could join me for this Wednesday segment. We have been discussing a number of topics over the past couple of weeks that have been geared towards mobilizing you and positioning you to go after you, the real you. To see the vision and plans that you have for your life begin to take shape and come into view more than ever, and I'm hoping that you are at that place right now. Today's segment is no exception. I am going to be tackling a subject matter that is no stranger to any of us. And if you have not been confronted by this particular issue, just live long enough and you are guaranteed to experience it sooner or later. I want to give a special welcome to you, those who are tuning in for the very first time. And for those who've been on my trail from the start, as we say back where I'm from, enough respect. I honor and I absolutely value your support. And I'm assuming I must be doing something right for you to keep tuning in as you have been. Thank you so much. You are one of the reasons why I keep pressing on, even when I get tired, even when I'm late. The other reason is that I am compelled to do this. This is very much connected to the overall purpose for my life. And besides that, I just love to talk. So let's get this discussion underway. Today's segment is entitled, Psst, Frustrated? Maybe God's trying to tell you something. Is God trying to tell me something? Then why don't he just say it? Has that thought ever crossed your mind? Or am I the only honest person around here? I can't tell you how many times I've felt like the answer I'm looking for is right in front of me, but just always seems a little out of reach. And every time I've gotten close enough to touch it, to grab it, it shifts. Ever wanted to scream? To pull your hair out? To throw in the towel? To call it a day? Let's talk about it. What exactly is frustration? By definition, frustration is the feeling of being upset or annoyed, especially because of an inability to change or achieve something, and it's a common emotional response to opposition. Everyone experiences a certain measure of frustration, but may vary in how he or she responds or reacts. Some people might resort to crying, withdrawing, insulating themselves. Some might become depressed, suicidal, angry, or combative. Some people, on the other hand, might take on an air of recklessness or indifference. What has been your typical response to frustration? And does it normally help? Now, in recent years, I have had to struggle with immense frustration. Maybe not right now as before, but it was really, really bad at one point. And it just wasn't coming from one direction. There were moments I felt like the only thing that was left to be thrown at me was the kitchen sink. I was frustrated with my job. I was frustrated with where I lived. I wanted to move. I was frustrated with church. I was frustrated with life as I knew it. And I kept thinking, there's got to be more to life than this. Now, outwardly, it seemed like I had everything together. In fact, I remember one of my friends commented once that a lot of people would love to have my life because I was a success story. I suppose to a certain extent she was right. If success meant having a few degrees, driving a nice car, owning your own home, being a professional, and running your own show. But at age 30, with all of these great achievements, I found myself mentally calculating what the repercussions of my death would look like. I thought, not married, no kids. So the people who would be most affected would be my immediate family and a few close friends. So I literally started making preparations to die. I remember contacting a couple of my banks to confirm whether they were beneficiaries on all of my accounts, just to make sure that in the event I died, if and when I died, my family would have had what I had worked hard for. And then I started asking God to take me out because I was ready to die. That was 7 years ago. And of course, you guessed it, I did not expire as was the plan, although in one sense, I did. I died to the person that I spent years constructing, that I had allowed society and the expectations of others to shape. At the age of 30, when I prayed for God to let me die, it sparked a journey that literally started a revolution in my life. From that moment on, it is said that a goldfish will grow in proportion to the size of its living space. So, if kept in a small tank, the goldfish will grow to a certain degree, but will die very quickly from the stress of not being able to grow anymore. But take that same goldfish and place it in an aquarium or even a pond. And it has the potential to grow as long as a foot and quite possibly even longer. Hermit crabs are interesting little creatures that are usually quite active. But at various points in time, these vibrant animals will undergo a process called molting. People who own hermit crabs as pets are usually advised to pay close attention to this process and make some preparation to accommodate it. During the molting process, the crab will crawl out of its shell and literally begin shedding its exoskeleton skin. It is a most difficult and equally dangerous process for the crab to undergo, one that is marked by a higher risk of death as the crab becomes exposed to the elements and some of its most aggressive counterparts in a manner that it normally isn't. Crab owners are advised to ensure that they place large empty shells, like snail shells, in the space housing the crabs so that as soon as the molting process is complete, the crab is able to crawl into one of these shells that becomes its new home. And this shell is normally bigger than the crab's body size. This will therefore allow the crab to grow and to fill up the space that it now occupies. Molting allows the crab to grow and develop, and the bigger shell gives it enough room to fill up as it grows. Goldfish and crabs and molting. So I'm figuring you're saying by now, okay, Georgia, what exactly is your point? I'm glad you asked. Isn't it interesting how creation seems to operate by a certain order, almost mechanically? How it knows to respond automatically to the demands of change with an almost inbuilt understanding that if it doesn't change, it likely will die, even if the change process itself has the potential to induce death. During the last 7 years of my life, I grew to understand the whole mechanism behind frustration. I grew to understand that frustration never simply showed up with an intention to destroy my life or make me depressed or simply to make my life a living hell. What I discovered about frustration instead is that it is often the tool that the master designer and manufacturer uses to announce to the product that it is time for change. Frustration is usually the signal that your time is up. That you're being birthed out of one level from one dimension to another, and you're being propelled into the next. Frustration is usually the sign that it is time to move. You are either moving up, moving out, or moving on from something old to something new. Your perception of what frustration is and its purpose when it shows up in your life is most crucial. As this is what will ultimately serve to shape your response. If you hold a negative point of view, depression, fear, and sadness are going to eat you alive. But if you learn to harness frustration and leverage it in your favor, you will be totally amazed at how far that posture will take you. Now, I remember reading the story of Samuel in Sunday school as a little girl and just being totally fascinated by it. But as I read that same story as an adult, I came to understand quite well how valuable a tool frustration is in the hand of the master designer. If you've never read this story, I'm going to encourage you to make the time to do so. And this particular story I'm talking about, it's referenced in your manual, which is the Bible, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. As always, for the sake of time, I'm going to give you a quick summary. In this account, there was a man by the name of Elkanah, or Elkanah, and he had two wives. One of the wife's name was Penina, and the second wife's name was Hannah. Penina had children, but Hannah did not. And the fact that Hannah did not have children made her life absolutely unbearable. In the Jewish culture, the ability to have children meant everything to a woman. So if a woman was not able to have children, she was essentially considered less than equal to her counterpart. Penina being able to give her husband children added more to the sadness and frustration that Hannah had to encounter. And it was no secret that Penina worked at making Hannah feel less. According to the narrative, every year when they went to the temple, Penina would make it her duty to antagonize poor Hannah. And Hannah, having no other recourse, would take her frustrations, her tears, and her cries to God. After all, if anyone could fix this situation, surely it would be the master manufacturer. So every year they would go through the same cycle, and every year Hannah would cry out to God. This particular year when they went into the temple, she went into the temple to pray. The Bible said that she was so overwhelmed, so broken, that she cried out from her heart. She didn't verbalize her prayer. She simply cried from her heart and she mouthed the words. I have been down that road one too many times. Have you ever been so broken, so helpless? Have you ever cried so much and prayed so much to the point that you could not even cry or pray anymore? Almost like there were no tears left? You couldn't even talk anymore, but only cry from your heart? That's exactly how Hannah was. That's exactly the state that she was in. Well, the priest Eli saw her and assumed that because she was moving her lips but not uttering a word, that she was drunk. So he told her to get with the program and quit drinking. It never fails, does it? Someone who doesn't know the whole story always has something to say. Anyway, Hannah told him that what was going on in her life and why she was so distraught, and how much she really, really wanted a baby, and that she was willing to rededicate this baby to the Lord for the rest of the child's life. The priest, who finally caught on, blessed her accordingly. And after she left the temple and went home, the Bible said sometime later she finally got pregnant and gave birth to a baby boy that she named Samuel. And after weaning him, she brought him to the temple where he was dedicated to spend the rest of his life serving God. Hannah did what so many of us are failing to do. She took her frustration, and instead of allowing it to dominate her life, to overwhelm her, she used it as a leverage to put in motion the thing she wanted to see manifest in her life. Instead of getting depressed and staying there, she took her frustration and turned it into the weapon of prayer and intercession. She learned to channel all of that energy into seeking God with her whole heart, her mind, and her soul for the thing that she desired the most. What is most interesting to me in this whole narrative is that while Anna was simply desiring to have a baby, God was looking to give her so much more than just a mere son. He was looking to birth through her womb one of the greatest priests and prophets to ever walk the planet. Not only would Samuel become a priest and prophet, but he was destined to become the kingmaker in Israel, forever establishing the lineage through which Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would emerge. Samuel was destined to anoint Saul and David as kings over Israel. Hannah's vision simply involved a baby, but God had a bigger plan in mind for her. Yet, it took frustration to drive Anna to the place of deep intercession to give birth to a dream, a vision that was way bigger than her. Could it be that the frustration you're being confronted by right now be a signal that God wants to do something great in your life? Way more than you even could imagine or conceive or ask? What if the frustration you might now be experiencing be the tool your master manufacturer is using to literally drive you into the discovery of your purpose, your destiny, into discovering the person you were truly meant to be? What if frustration is really a sign that God is trying to tell you something, trying to get your attention? Of course, you won't know until you ask. So what are you waiting for? In your manual, in the book of St. Luke 11, verse 9 through 10, it says this. So I say to you, ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks and keeps on asking receives, and he who seeks and keeps on seeking finds, and to him who knocks and keeps on knocking, the door shall be opened. If you're facing some level of frustration right at this moment, do not get depressed. Don't get angry. Do not turn to drugs. Do not turn to alcohol. And certainly do not contemplate suicide. Go to your master manufacturer, your source of life, your Heavenly Father, and ask Him to open the eyes of your understanding so that you can know what it is He's doing in your life and what you need to do to help facilitate it. He did just that for me, and that is the reason why you are hearing my voice today. Frustration is only a sign that it is time to push. Pray until something happens. Father in heaven, tonight we want to thank you that you are a God of purpose. And sometimes, Lord, you use frustration as a tool to bring us into the destiny, the fulfillment of the purpose that you have on our lives. I take authority over the spirits of depression and alcoholism and suicidal ideation, over fear, sadness, and hopelessness. And Father, I ask even now that you will teach us how to leverage frustration so that it works for us rather than works against us. Strengthen us even now to push, to pray until something happens. Help us to give birth to the purpose that you've put us on earth to accomplish. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you for tuning in to this segment of the Building According to Pattern podcast series. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, I'm going to invite you to visit my podcast page to take a look at the archived messages that are available for your listening pleasure. Visit as often as you like. Listen as often as you like. And please, when you do get there, do leave a comment. That address is batplc.podbean.com. I'm also going to invite you to visit my YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube, you type in Building According to Pattern LLC, it will take you to my channel. And I have a bunch of messages that are available on my YouTube channel that are not accessible through my podcast page. So I would definitely encourage you to go there. And please do feel free to send me an email if you have any questions or concerns, or if there's anything that you want to provide as a feedback to me to let me know if what I'm doing on a weekly basis is making a difference in your life. I would love to hear from you. That email address is info, that's INFO, at buildingaccordingtopattern.com, and that's a complete word. I'm looking forward to meeting with you again this upcoming Sunday, and we're going to be having a very special segment because on this segment, I'm going to be interviewing a very dear friend of mine who's also a business partner somewhat. And we're going to be continuing this discussion on the whole issue of frustration and how she was able to take frustration and leverage it in her life and that enabled her to give birth to a powerful organization that she now has in place that serves small business women across the nation, and not only in this country, but also in other countries. She was able to take the frustration that she was feeling, and instead of allowing that frustration to oppress her or to overwhelm her, she uses frustration to channel her energy into giving birth to something that is now serving other people in eras, different eras of their lives, different walk of life. I want to invite you to tune in this upcoming Sunday. You don't want to miss this segment. And of course, I'm definitely looking forward to hanging out with you. Thank you so much for tuning in again. For now, I'm tuning out. Take care. Be blessed. Stay safe. Until Sunday again. Bye.